Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Top six separated by a length and a half as they race around the far turn, and Nadal is still the leader.
Oaklawn Race Day. Your inside track with some of the hottest thoroughbred action in America. Only a short drive away in Hot Springs.
Between horses goes Accession, who's come from the back of the pack. And look at this. It is Accession and Nadal. Nadal, Accession, Nadal aces the Rebel. Wow, what a race.
Arkansas residents can even watch and wager online with Oaklawn Anywhere. Go to oaklawnanywhere.com or download the iPhone or iPad app from the Apple Store for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. And now, here are your hosts, Justin Acri and David Longinatti.
And for the final time in the 2022 season, we welcome you in to Oaklawn Race Day. And it's a huge one at that. A full day of racing at Oaklawn today and tomorrow. Some special guests will be in attendance of the equine variety. And obviously, there's a little something going on over at Churchill in Louisville today. And we're going to talk a lot about the Kentucky Derby and the Arkansas connections there. David Longinatti, Justin Acri, and Jeff Money Taylor. Let's just bring in Money right off the top here. Gentlemen, good morning for the final time this season. Talked a little bit about it yesterday, kind of mixed emotions. It was a great, great year at Oaklawn, and going to miss the show for a while, but we'll be right back in early December.
That's right. It's just a
fantastic metric, and it's a good weekend. I've had reservations about running past the Arkansas Derby, especially 5 weeks ago. But what better way to end than the Kentucky Oaks yesterday and the Big Derby today? We always have horses involved in both of those races, and it's exciting to kind of follow them through the week. And we've got our own supporting card here today. 12 big races, Trails End, my favorite race of the year, the very last one tomorrow, mile and three quarters. The old Lang Syne thing and everything when they come out, it's just a fantastic ending to a fantastic meet, Justin. I think pretty much everybody's in agreement this thing would have to grade out at worst an A-minus as far as the new season dates are concerned.
David, doors are open there. 9 o'clock we opened up. Early racing at Churchill is already underway. We've got three in the books already, and we'll be talking a lot about the Kentucky Derby, the 12th of 14 today. Just before 6 o'clock is the expected time today, and first post at Oaklawn's at noon. And again, a lot to celebrate from the season. And one of the things I talked to Wayne Smith about yesterday, the general manager at Oaklawn, was what would cap it off. And obviously, great weather this weekend at Oaklawn, which it looks like we're getting, obviously, off to a great start. And also some big influences over at Churchill. And we got that started yesterday with the Kentucky Oaks.
Yes, it did. And we had a great Kentucky Oaks Secret Oath. It's the filly that we have been talking about ever since December 31st, when she won that great allowance race in her last start as a two-year-old. What a great ride she got from Luis Saez yesterday from the one hole, won the Kentucky Oaks for her 86-year-old trainer, the great Hall of Famer Coach D. Wayne Lucas. It was a great day here at Oaklawn for all of her fans, and she, trust me, both she and D. Wayne Lucas have a huge, huge following here in Arkansas, and that was great. And that wasn't the only success by a filly from Arkansas or from Oaklawn. We had Pauline's Pearl, last year's winner of the Fantasy Stakes, won the Grade One La Troyon earlier in the card, and beat the other two horses, ran second, third to her, or She Dares the Devil and Avis Grace, who also ran at Oaklawn. So two Grade One wins for Oaklawn race horses yesterday.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about the Kentucky Derby, obviously, as we go through the show today. Also, we have the Arkansas Breeders' Championship today, $200,000 purse. We'll touch on that and some other races at Oaklawn in the second segment. And, Jeff, real quick, before we do that and hit our nuts and bolts in our first break a little bit early here, now there's a decision. We just talked about D-Wayne Lucas, and there was a question about whether or not to put her against the boys at the Arkansas Derby. She came in and didn't have a great trip, still finished third. And now there's conversation immediately with her handlers and D-Wayne about maybe going to the Preakness next.
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure with Wayne's history, he's never been afraid to put the girls in with the boys, and I'm sure it has at least crossed his mind in passing in a couple of weeks if they try the Preakness. I, however, do not think that will be the case. 2 weeks these days and times is just really too much of a turnaround, especially asking her to do a very, very stern task because, you know, you're not going to have 20 in the Preakness, but you're probably going to have 12 of the best three-year-olds, some horses jumping the Derby and pointing toward that race all spring long. And just consider that whole metric. I think Wayne is certainly crafty enough to maybe play it as a possibility, but I really don't think it's going to happen. There are simply too many spots, Justin, for a nice, fresh three-year-old filly in the summertime at in New York, especially. Belmont has a great series of races. Saratoga has some great races up there, and Wayne knows New York very, very well. I'm sure he's got those kind of races in mind instead of wheeling back in just 2 weeks. And I do want to certainly mirror David's thoughts on Saez's ride yesterday. It was nothing short of brilliant. That's why he's in such a demand. He knew where Fletcher's favorite was at all times. He made the move that he needed to when Ness was kind of idling down inside of traffic because that's where I ride and elected to go. Luis was sitting in the Catbird seat 4 or 5 wide. He got the jump on her, and there was about half a dozen others up here in the press box, and we all said in unison, there's the move, and it was a winning one indeed. But just a great day for Oklahoma State, said, not only with Secret Oath, but Pauline Pearl was a very, very good, solid performer yesterday. We had definitely our state's program was reinforced with those performances on yesterday's card.
All right, we'll talk about the Oakland connections at the Derby coming up. Cyberknife, obviously the Arkansas Derby winner. Barber Road, the Arkansas Derby runner-up. And third in the Rebel and Zozo's, a horse we didn't talk probably as much about with a shorter, I guess, run at Oakland before ending up as the runner-up in the Louisiana Derby. We had an ever-changing schedule or lineup, I guess, for the Derby too, which is something we can touch on. But some horses in and out, and unfortunately one of those with connections to Arkansas had to drop out. But a very good field assembled. We'll talk about it coming up. Also, we'll delve into, after the break, the Arkansas Breeders' Championship. If you can't make it on this beautiful Saturday to Oakland, well, you can still go to Oakland anywhere and get a piece of the action. You can go to the Apple App Store, download the app now, or go to bet.oakland.com. Also, the Clydesdales are coming in. I mentioned some special guests. They will be on site today and tomorrow. They'll be parading after race 3 today, race 4 tomorrow. And yes, a full slate of racing, not at Churchill tomorrow. They'll be cleaning up the mess, I assume, all day tomorrow. But at Oakland, 10 races, first post around noon. So we're going to finish strong down in Hot Springs. And we'll continue to be as strong as we can from an analysis and pick standpoint through the rest of this one. Stay with us.
$20 an hour. You heard that right. Lennox Industries state-of-the-art air-conditioned factory in Stuttgart, Arkansas is now offering $20 an hour starting pay in addition to no mandatory weekend work, making it a great place to start a new and exciting career. We invite you to become a member of the strongest commercial HVAC manufacturing facility in the world. If you have manufacturing experience, a strong work record with good attendance, and are looking for a place to establish a long-term career where you can grow, then Lennox Industries in Stuttgart wants you. Lennox offers the best combination of pay and overall benefits package in the industry and has been operating in Stuttgart since 1974. If you are ready to kickstart your career and join an industry-leading company in HVAC, then visit LennoxInternational.com/careers or text MyCoolJobs to 97211.
All right, welcome back to Oaklawn Race Day. We were worried about less than ideal conditions over in Louisville, but it looks like, as from what I can tell, guys, no rain on the card today, or no rain on the forecast today, which is good news. Some cloudy skies early on. It looks like it'll clear out as the day wears on, so maybe you don't have to factor that in as we thought we might. And David, a little closer to home, obviously at Oaklawn, a really good final day of racing, or final Saturday, I should say, with Sunday racing still on tap for tomorrow. But a dozen races, the first one at noon, and the Arkansas Breeders' Championship is the highlight of the day with a couple hundred grand on the line.
If you look at all the racing around the country today, obviously, you know, the most bettable race is always the Kentucky Derby. But I got to be honest with you, looking at the Arkansas Breeders' Championship, 14 horses entered. These are horses that have faced each other numerous times. Some are stretching out for you know, one time or another. They've changed trainers through the claim box. This is probably the second most bettable race on the card, and I think JT would agree with me on that.
Absolutely. 14 deep, no scratches. And as David said, these are some veterans. We've seen them a lot over the years. They've taken turns beating each other kind of time and time again. I mentioned this in my analysis. 11 of these 14 have already won a race at the meet. And mostly have come against fellow Arkansas bred. So it's always a fun race. And when you put 14 together, anything can happen. And the consequence, you get a fair price. I think top to bottom, this is going to be a very evenly matched field. The public, I think, is going to have a rather difficult time in establishing a favorite, Justin.
Yeah, well, you got some familiar names in here and a couple of eight-year-olds. KJ's Nobility, a horse that I think most people are familiar with, as well as J.E.'s Hand-Me-Down. Those are a couple that jumped off the page. And as long as we're talking about homegrown athletes, I want to talk about Kelsey Harr for a second. We had a chance to visit her yesterday, JT, and what an impressive individual. And we talked a little bit about her career with you guys yesterday, but it was so nice to have a chance to visit with her and, you know, wishing her the best. And, boy, she'll start the day on the morning line favorite, Bandit Point, in the two spot.
Yeah, she's just a breath of fresh air. It's so great to see Arkansas homegrown, and they are definitely homegrown, her and her significant other, Robert Klein, the trainer that she rides so much for. They have an absolutely bundle of joy, a little nine-year-old daughter that is just an absolute treat to be around as well. But, yeah, Kelsey's going to have the man on Bandit Point. You know, all this horse does is keep showing up. He's actually crossed the wire twice. In first position, was subsequently disqualified from that December win. That was kind of a little gut shot for them. That was $100,000, and they were the breeders, owners, and trainers, and rider of that particular horse, Bandit Point, that day. But they've rebounded with this colt. He's in a good spot today. He has won it a mile on the 16th. He's predominantly sprinted so far this meet, but stretched out with a vengeance last time out, put a nice little run on Kelsey, well-judged. And she's going to be in a position, I think, she can get a trip to come running again late. I really didn't know what to do in this race, to be quite honest. I finally settled on the claiming angle. We touched on that a little bit yesterday morning about the whole psychology of barns changing, or horses changing barns through the claim process, the new trainer thinking they can improve the horse. And I think that's the case here with number 13, Mrs. Dean. She's got solid new connections here. Not there was anything wrong with the previous connection. They got a lot of success and a lot of mileage out of Mrs. Dean as well. But owner Danny Caldwell has teamed up with Federico Villafranco, the trainer, through the years, and they have had tremendous success through the claim box. They claimed Mrs. Beans for $20,000 last out. I'm sure specifically with this race in mind. I like Martin Garcia up. He is a very crafty rider. He's going to find a way to work out a trip, I'm hoping, in this rather busy field. 13 posts, I'm not thrilled about, but this horse doesn't need to be close to the front, so I think they'll tuck him back. Kind of make a strategic position into him there into the first turn in a stalking style that he likes to put to good use. And I like the 5-1 price. I think that's a square value if we can get it. But that's a narrow call here, David. I didn't know where you went, but there's plenty of other options for sure.
Yeah, there are. And unfortunately, I ended up on the same one you did, or maybe not unfortunately. I really liked Mrs. Bean's race last time. You know, when it was a mile, kind of just drew off down the lane. I loved the way you know, David Cabrera kind of moved her, moved him right outside, you know, coming into the stretch. It was a great race. Another claiming angle in this race, however, and another one who's going to be a bit of a price, is the five-horse J.E.'s Hand-Me-Down, who was claimed two races back by Steve Asmussen. And, you know, he's as the owner and the trainer. So you would think that he also had this race in mind when he claimed him out of that March 17th race. He came back, ran him in a sprint April 23rd. He kind of broke a little bit farther back of the field than he typically does in sprints. And I'm thinking perhaps that was by plan to get him to relax off the pace and close to where he can stretch out. He has run decently at least a mile and 16th distances in the past, although none of those have been at Oakland. He's done it against Open Company at Indiana. So he's 12-1 in the morning line. I think I got to use him somehow or another with Mrs. Beans and, of course, with Kelsey Harr's mount, Bandit Point, as well.
All right, David, how about your best bet today in Hot Springs?
My best bet today in Hot Springs, it's another Arkansas-bred race, Captain Don, the two-horse in race number 10 for my good friend Dash Goff and one of the oldest gentleman trainers and best gentleman trainers in the country, Don Von Himmel.
Yeah, well, one of the great characters for sure, Mr. Goff is. I can tell you that for sure, having a chance to spend a little time with him this year. JT, how about for you at Oaklawn today?
We'll stay with that same claiming type angle that we kind of put out in front of everybody the last couple of mornings. Number two, Horse Greedy in the fourth is my best bet. This is another one that was claimed by Steve Asmussen. spot for himself, and that's a pretty good formula to use. Nice class level here, coming right back for the 8,000. I think he improves enough to get at least part of this. I don't think we'll get 4-1 because there is, I think, a few scratches in the fourth, but it'll be probably, I'm hoping, 5-2 or 3-1. Number two, Horse Greedy for the Asmussen. You're in race number four.
All right, we're going to leave plenty of time to really delve into the Kentucky Derby in our final segment. So let's get long shots here, and then we'll take our final break. JT?
I'm going to go one race later in the fifth with my long shot, number three, Cyber Monday. This is an Arkansas-bred contest, and I think this horse's pedigree is going to do the job here in this pretty evenly matched group. Cyber Monday has sprinted the last couple of times, made a couple of very nice middle moves, gets back out around two turns. You're going to see him closer to the front end today. Kylie Jordan riding for trainer Aiden Green. That's a good combination there. Won't be double digits as we've seen from this gelding in recent starts, but anything I think 6-1 or better is worth the play. Number three, Cyber Monday in the fifth. My buzz, long shot. Lay of the day.
All right, Cyber Monday now. Cyber Knife maybe later? David, how about a long shot for you today?
We're going to go with race number nine at Oaklawn, the nine-horse Time Heist, trained by Nevada Litton. I think he's coming into a very good, his last race really jumped up in terms of what he's been doing in the past three or four races. He's going to be, he's 20-1 in the morning line. And to be honest with you, when I did my picks for the race, I didn't have the courage to put him on top. But at 20-1, I think he's worth a look. And that's number nine horse in the ninth race.
I can remember that. 9-9. That's no problem at all. All right, we're going to hit our final timeout. 11:16. Got plenty of time to dig deep into the Kentucky Derby. And per usual, there are a lot of different ways to go with this one. So we'll get the guys' thoughts on which way you should probably point your wagers today. Get their thoughts coming up after the break. Again, if you can't make it down, Oaklawn Anywhere, always available. And plenty to see and do in the infield and elsewhere at Oaklawn today. But if you can't, Oaklawn Anywhere. And if you are a non-Apple user, bet.oaklawn.com. We're back with some picks after this.
Live racing at Oaklawn is back. And it's bigger than ever.
They're off.
With more race days and more ways to enjoy them. With a new luxury hotel, more dining options, and world-class thoroughbred racing, this season is like no other. Book your escape, buy your seats, and make your dining reservations at Oaklawn.com today. Oaklawn, Arkansas's only casino resort. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Listen up, Russellville. When we say your more starts at Orr Hyundai of Russellville, we mean it. We'll give you more than ever for your car or truck. Any make, any model. That's right, we'll pay you cash for your ride, even if you don't buy from us. Get a real-time appraisal now. And visit us at Orr Hyundai of Russellville and orrautomall.com. Get so much more with Orr.
All right, 11:17, our final segment of the season. I may shed a tear here, but we're going to have some fun in the final segment talking about the Kentucky Derby. I thought it was appropriate to play Kentucky Woman, the Kentucky Woman of the weekend, Secret Oath. So congratulations to her again, the horse that had such an impact at Oaklawn this year, going over and getting it done in the Oaks yesterday. We'll see what's next for her. But, David, let's talk a little bit about the Arkansas connections in the Kentucky Derby. Always a number of them. And they have been in and out of the lineup this week, but you remain with three and some intriguing ones at that.
Well, let's first get the scratch out of the way. Ethereal Road, who was one of the last ones to qualify, was scratched yesterday by Dean Wayne Lucas. I guess he wanted to concentrate on the Oaks with Secret Oath, yeah. And that paid off, yeah. Apparently. Mm-hmm. So the three Oaklawn horses, and they're all drawn on the outside, the 14 Barber Road, who has never finished out. He's not finished out of the money in all of the four preps at Oaklawn. The 16, Cyber Knife, of course, Arkansas Derby winner. And the 19, Zozos, who won an allowance race here at Oaklawn before running second to, I think, who is now the favorite Epicenter in the Louisiana Derby. I believe Epicenter has gone the favorite in the Derby right now.
Well, you know, and JT, it's interesting. I would liken this a little bit to the NFL draft, and it's like, you know, you see a guy play all year, and he's the obvious number one choice, and all of a sudden something happens at the combine or something changes people's minds, even when nothing else has come to pass, and all of a sudden they change position. I think that happened a little bit this week with Zandon, the morning line favorite initially, and a lot of people, it seemed like, are moving away from that horse. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, and which way they go, we'll see. But Epicenter certainly deserves a lot of attention and will get a lot of attention today.
Yeah, it's been a real big subject. You know, those two were obviously, I think, going to dominate the wagering. And I personally was surprised that Mike Battaglia, the morning line maker there at Churchill, a long time line maker and a brilliant one at that, laid Zandon the favorite. Over Epicenter, he really did nothing wrong. I think maybe the currency, meaning that Zandon's Bluegrass was a little more recent than Epicenter's Louisiana Derby. While both impressive, it's kind of what has he done for me lately. I think that maybe thought the Tagley would sway some people. The action yesterday was a little surprising. Zandon, not dead on the board, but I think ended up going off third choice by the time the betting had closed yesterday evening. New money coming in, obviously, today, and Epicenter, who I thought would be the favorite, I think will indeed go that way. As far as those two, then you got a huge gap, I think, back to the third choice. And I think Mo Donegal is probably going to get that distinction at about 8-1, maybe 9-1 come post time. But it's kind of interesting. And you mentioned the draft, Justin. Looking at this tote board leading up to the Derby is almost as exciting as the race itself, at least to me,
right,
from a player standpoint, because the landscape changes. You can see kind of the ebb and flow of people's thought processes, and there's always late money that hits, not enough really to tilt the board over since the pool is so blue large, but nonetheless you see some kind of subtle moves. I'm really curious to see what the public is going to do on the Japanese import. That would be Crown Fried. Much has been made of his training patterns. He's looked super in the mornings. He's been very busy, almost unheard of busy according to North American training styles. He, I think, has had three or four times workouts just in the last week and a half since arriving from overseas. So that's going to be an interesting subplot, and so many others that you talked about. Cyberknife, I think his stock has got to go up. He did beat the filly yesterday in the Arkansas Derby. Barber Road as well finished in front of her, and I think, if anything, her effort in the Oaks yesterday has to reinforce those two horses' chances going into the Derby today, since she ran so well in finishing behind him. But a lot of subplots working, and we're not finished watching that tote board yet.
David, let's talk about a couple of other intriguing horses that we have touched on throughout the year on Oaklawn Race Day, and they were formerly trained by Bob. I guess I should call him, when you relate it to Churchill, Bob Banfert. But, you know, Yakteen's taken over here, 8-1 for Messier, and Taba, a horse we all think a lot of and is getting a ton of attention from people as maybe moving up on the board as they're getting the money, but 12-1 there with Mike Smith, the Hall of Famer, aboard. How much did the Baffert departure take, or did you impact, I guess, your thoughts on these two horses? Because they're certainly very quality.
Well, first of all, let's update the odds here. Look at it. Right now, the two favorites, co-favorites at 5-1, are Epicenter and Taba, the Santa Anita Derby winner. They're co-favorites at 5-1.
Oh, okay.
Zandon is next. Zandon and Messier, the other former Baffert stable star, are second choice at 7-1, with Mo Donegal of 8-1. And we talked about Cyberknife. He's 13-1 from a morning line of 20. So perhaps Secret Oath's success yesterday is moving some people toward the Cyberknife angle.
And for you, I mean, how much does that impact your thought process as far as change in trainer?
All right, I have, I all week long I've been watching prep races. I've been looking at PPs ever since Monday. I woke up at 4:00 this morning, couldn't go back to sleep, so go dig out the form again, start looking at it again. I am going to make a stand on, going to honor the late great Ken Brazell, who said your bets should always make a case for the horse that you think is going to win the race. So I'm betting a decent win ticket on the one, Mo Donegal, at 8-1 right now in the morning line, or 8-1 at current odds, and I'm using him top and bottom. I'm spreading out on the bottom in trifectas and exactas. I've got, you know, Epicenter, Power of Medina, who's like 40-1, Taba, Barber Road, Cyberknife, and Zozos. Those are the six, and there's two or three more that I'm scared of.
Tell me about Zozo's, Dave. We haven't talked a lot about that horse this year. The one race at Oaklawn, successful, and then got second in another prep race to earn his way in here. We'll start from the 19 hole, but we haven't talked much about him on the show. It's a Brad Cox trainee, so you don't have to say a whole lot more than that, but what can you tell us about this one?
Well, he was very impressive in his allowance race here on February the 11th. Now, he broke his maiden at Fairgrounds on January 23rd, so he's very lightly raced. He's only had three races, but he's won two of the three. And the thing main reason I'm using him is because if you like Epicenter, you know, and at 5-1, then you have to also like Zozo's, who is just 2.5 lengths behind him in Louisiana Derby. And remember that the Louisiana Derby is now 1 3/16. So if you can go 1 3/16, there's not a great deal of difference between going 1 3/16 and 1 1/4. So a lot of the horses coming off the 1 1/8 preps, I think the Fairgrounds switching to 1 3/16 has really helped their program.
That's a good point. JT, let me ask you a tough question. And again, you got the benefit of seeing what she did yesterday. But if Secret Oath was in the mix today, would you figure her into the outcome?
I simply could not, Justin. That's not prejudicial or chauvinistic on my behalf. It's just maybe her running style. She is push button. She knows one maneuver pretty much, and that's going around horses in that far turn. We saw it yet again today. And for her to try to do that in a 20-horse field is not impossible, but she would have to have almost an ideal set of situations unfold, meaning traffic, pace, everything would have to be perfect for her. I think probably she would run respectably enough to get part of it, but as far as winning this, I think they made absolutely 100% the right decision in going with the smaller field, given her type of running style.
All right, well, give me your thoughts on what you are going to do today now.
Well, I'm climbing on board an already very busy bandwagon and a crowded bandwagon. I'm going to go to the Japanese horse to at least kind of start getting some action built around. Number 7, Crown Fried, obviously. Never been in this country. I've mentioned the kind of orthodox training habits of his connections. But this is more of a trend that I'm playing today, and that is the Japanese angle. They have done nothing short of dominate the world stage in the last 6 or 8 months. They won a couple of Breeders' Cups, their first two at Del Mar last fall. They went from there, meaning Japanese horses in NX3, great. Group 1s in the Hong Kong program 1 month later. They won 4 races on the very lucrative Saudi Cup in February. And then in March, they did even better, winning 5 on the Dubai World Cup stage. So that product the Japanese have put forth in the last year has been nothing more than exceptional. And it's unprecedented in my mind. And Crown Fried obviously has done nothing wrong during the week leading up to this. As far as his training goes, he's had very favorable commentary from people that I respect a bunch as far as knowing what horses need to do in the morning. So I'm going to start with him. You know, he's going to be a square price, may not be 20-1 come post time, but anything in that 15-1 range, if he runs the kind of race that many people expect him to, I think he is at least involved in the trifecta. And when you go 20 horses, you better have a foundation. And that's really what I'm saying, is my foundation is going to start with the 7 Crown Pride.
All right, that's your official. And for David, you're saying number 3, going with Epicenter?
No, I'm going 1, Mo Donegal.
Okay.
Betting him to win and using him top and bottom with like 6 others, one of which is Epicenter. My bomb, the one that I think is going to show a major improvement that is not being talked about at all, is the other Pletcher horse, the 11 Power of Medina. I think this horse's last race was much stronger than what appears on paper.
All right, very good. I also want to call people's attention quickly to the Pat Day Mile over at Churchill today. $500,000 purse. These were a lot of horses that had Kentucky Derby hopes, didn't quite get there, but Doppelganger among the crew, Kavad and Ben Diesel, that ran through Oaklawn this year, so a good field there as well on the undercard of the Kentucky Derby. Again, around 6 o'clock or just before, if you're on your Oaklawn Anywhere account or you're down at Oaklawn and want to place a wager, that's the time. Gentlemen, can't thank you enough. It was a blast this year. I can't wait for December. We'll be right back doing it all over again. David, you guys were great hosts down at Oaklawn as well this year throughout the season, and hopefully get to catch up with you guys a little bit over the summer as well.
Absolutely. Good luck to you, Justin.
All right, good luck, fellas. Appreciate it. All right, good luck to you as well. Thank you for joining us today and all season on Oaklawn Race Day.
They're off. Venetian Harbor is alongside Swiss Skydiver, and these two have raced away.
Come to Oaklawn now for another great day of racing in Hot Springs.
Venetian Harbor is back in front, half ahead. Swiss Skydiver gonna make her work all the way to the wire.
When they can't make it to the track, Arkansas residents can watch and wager online with Oaklawn Anywhere. Get a $150 bonus when you sign up. Go to OaklawnAnywhere.com or download the iPhone or iPad app from the Apple Store for details.
Swiss Skydiver, Venetian Harbor, and Swiss Skydiver is going to run away and win the fantasy.
Oaklawn, Arkansas's favorite place to play. The next time you're at Oaklawn, sign up for Oaklawn Rewards and play $100 on us.